Hi, my name is Jennifer Marsman, and I'm here in Microsoft's Bellevue office to chat with folks on the Bing Predicts team. Bing Predicts is using some amazing machine learning technology in order to predict things like elections, sporting events, and reality TV shows. So in today's episodes, I'm joined by Sundar and Jonas, and we're going to talk a little bit more about how reality TV shows can be predicted with Bing Predicts. So thank you guys for joining me today. What is Bing Predicts and what is your role on the team?
Sure. Thanks, Jen. I'm Sundar. I'm a product manager here with Bing Predicts team. I handle experiences on Bing.com and reality shows, to be more specific. And in Bing Predicts, the way to look at it is we use search, social, and web data to predict real-life events. So TV shows like American Idol, it's one of the most watched TV shows in the on TV, and we are able to predict the outcomes of who's likely to win the show. And we are extending this to other TV shows like The Voice, Dancing with the Stars, and using machine learning technologies which we have built over the years for Bing.com, and with search and social information, we're able to do a great job in predicting the winners of these shows.
Excellent. And Jonas, what is your role? I know, so Jonas and I actually go way back. We used to be devs together doing machine learning work way back when. And what is your role in Bing Predicts now?
So now I'm the tech lead for the experiences side here on Bing Predicts. So I make sure that we have the right people doing the right predictions at the right time.
Excellent. So can you talk a little bit more about the experience of what you can do with Bing Predicts, specifically for reality TV shows?
So we have a couple of experiences up right now. One of them is for the American Idol, which is going on since a few weeks. And if you actually go to Bing and you search for American Idol, you're actually going to get this really nifty carousel, as we call it, which has all kinds of information about the various performers. But in particular, for our purpose, you can see here on the screen that we have our predictions, where we are basically calling out some of the participants as safe, someone who we think is going to be eliminated, and someone who is in danger. That is our sort of fallback if we're not quite right about who's going to be eliminated. All right, we have another example that's coming up right now and is just about to start here, which is Dancing with the Stars. And we have just come out with the predictions for the first round here. And it looks like Geraldo Rivera is someone who we're not so sure is going to stay on for the long run. Doug Flutie is one of the football players here. He's safe for now, but I saw that his future prospects may not be the best.
All right. Well, that's very exciting, and that makes a lot of sense how you guys can understand public opinion by seeing, you know, the search queries that are coming through Bing and really getting a sense for what folks care about and the people that they're passionate about. So that makes a lot of sense how that might work. So it seems like TV shows was how Bing Predicts started at the very beginning. So can you talk about how you did in the first season of American Idol?
Sure. So we started predicting American Idols in 2014, and it was one of the first prediction experiences that we had with a great experience on Bing.com. And in that season, we actually were able to call out Caleb Johnson as the winner. And not only did we call the winner right, we were able to call the winner right about 6 weeks into ahead of the final verdict. So mid-May was the time when the actual verdict was going to be given, but our model started showing that Caleb Johnson was the guy about like end of March. And it's interesting because the Vegas odds called him as an underdog, so he had like 1 in 13 chances of winning according to Vegas, when there were other contestants who had almost like 3 times higher probability of winning the event. But Bing models, we were able to see that the fan base of Caleb Johnson's were getting bigger and bigger. The amount of time which people spent watching his shows were increasing as time progressed. And this gave us the confidence that Caleb Johnson is the person to stay through. And it so happened that Caleb Johnson won, and it was a very, very tightly contested American Idol season with 13 contestants. And we were able to call out the winner quite well and well in advance. And that was one of the fascinating stories that for like the first season that we launched, and we had like a great story to start with.
That's interesting. Now, you mentioned the amount of time people spent viewing Caleb's videos specifically. So is this YouTube view times or how does that work?
So YouTube view times, they also have information on the contestant page itself has information about the performances. So we look at multiple signals of the kind of queries which people search, the kind of tweets which people mention about Caleb Johnson, not just the numbers, but also information about what's the sentiment associated with it and things like that. So with all these signals, our model was able to do a great job in picking the winner for the season.
That's great, yeah. And so that's really what I want to talk about next is how do you do the predictions for these TV shows?
Sure.
So what are the features that you're using to make this, to make these predictions?
Yeah, as Sundar already mentioned, much of it is really about making use of the information that we get through Bing and the interest that people express by going to Bing. Of course, everything is aggregated and anonymized, but in these aggregates, we can see, for example, queries about the various performers and the songs they're performing and so on. But we also have a possibility to see which are the fan websites that people are going to, for example.
Oh, okay.
And we can see to some extent also on other social media what are the reactions.
Okay.
So putting these things in together and then looking over various time periods, like immediately before the show, over the few weeks in the beginning of the show and so on, different time frames, we can see what's trending up and what's trending down. And that tells us also valuable information.
Okay, that's great. So it sounds like a lot of cool features available to you. Everything from Bing search queries to doing sentiment analysis on social media, things like Twitter and perhaps Facebook. And then being able to see kind of the view times of each of these things and fan websites visited and kinds of things like that. So that all makes a lot of sense. Can you speak at all to the algorithms that you're using under the covers for machine learning? Is this mainly decision trees, deep learning, neural nets, combination of lots of things?
We use an ensemble of algorithms to decide the winners. And Jonas can talk more about the details of the algorithm. He is the one who built it. So.
Awesome.
Yes, it's a team effort. But you heard from Walter in an earlier episode, our algorithms are, when we can, based on machine learning. We have, as you all know, we apply an ensemble of different techniques here. From neural nets to all the way to deep learning, but much of it also other parts of data science. And there are areas where we may not have enough data to apply a proper machine learning method, in which case it comes down to other ways of trying to infer information from past experience and from our data sources to what's going to happen next. So it's really a matter of applying whatever fits the problem.
Okay. You mentioned using inferences to figure out where you were lacking data. How exactly does that work? What kind of things are you inferring?
Well, so it's really about trying to get the most certain that we can out of limited information. Sometimes this information is not so limited, like when we can go by search volume and when we have a large number of examples to draw from. You'll hear more about our elections work, for example, where we have plenty of states that we can infer information from other states. But in a context like TV shows, it's often that we have more limited information. And it varies also, for example, between where we are. If you are in one region of the world, like the US, we have far more data, generally speaking, than we have about the Asian markets or on European markets.
Okay, all right, interesting.
When
you're making these predictions, are you able to use that data pretty much raw, or is there a pretty extensive data cleaning process that needs to happen?
So that varies quite a bit. If you're trying to infer interest about a person, mm-hmm. In a particular context, you have to be a bit careful. If you look for Lady Gaga appearing on one of the award shows, then clearly much of the search interest about Lady Gaga has nothing to do with that TV show or award show. Whereas for other more specific purposes, you can perhaps use more or less everything. So you have to try to find, for example, queries that are focused around the event of interest. And that can sometimes be rather difficult. and limits the amount of information that you have.
All right. So why do you think web data is so much more informative than predictive markets, like the Vegas odds in this scenario?
Sure, absolutely. So for TV shows and reality shows in general, popularity plays a very big role in deciding the winner. And Vegas odds are supposed to be pretty accurate because there's a lot of money behind the betting. Yeah. But having said that, the number of people who visit Vegas and who participate in that market is much, much smaller than the number of search engine users. So the scale at which we are able to assess popularity is a lot higher than what we can get from the small participants in the Vegas odds market in itself. Having said that, when somebody comes to a search engine and searches about, say, Caleb Johnson, they're not trying to game the system in any way. They are like trying to infer about the candidate, the participant, what kind of videos they can watch. And they're doing their data, they're just trying to enjoy the show, they're trying to research about the show. And when we use this information in aggregate in an anonymized way, we are able to get patterns about, like, is a particular candidate trending much more than another candidate. So this is where the scale at which they operate and the unbiased nature of the whole search engine users is what enables us to get like a much more accurate odds of predicting a candidate's success in an event. So that's the real value there. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense to be able to, I mean, people aren't biased when they go to search for search engines. Yeah. They're just generally curious or inquisitive and want to know.
Absolutely.
So that makes a lot of sense. All right, so you mentioned you that you were able to do this with better accuracy. Can you say anything about your accuracy numbers? How well you're doing in predicting reality shows?
Sure.
So we do really, really well, for some reason, on American Idol, where we are at 90-95% accuracy, which is pretty amazing.
That is.
It's a little bit harder for Dancing with the Stars than The Voice. We're at 75-80%.
That's still very good.
But if you think about it, the min bar would be the monkey throwing darts, right? And if you work out the math if you start out by having one out of 12 candidates maybe that you're going to pick for elimination, then 1 of 11, 1 of 10, and so on, works out about 20%. So if you were the monkey, you're at 20%. So you can tell that there's a big gap between those 20% and the 75, 80, up to 95%. And it is really testament to how efficient many of those features are that we are using and the inferences we can draw from them.
All right, okay. And do you have any lessons learned or stories that maybe weren't successes at the beginning, but you've learned something from?
Sure. Like, I mean, just like how Caleb Johnson was a massive success, when we predicted The Voice a couple of seasons back, we had two candidates, Craig Boyd and Matt, if I remember correctly. They were going neck to neck. And we had, because we were predicting a winner, and we had to call out a name, and we called out Matt as the winner. But it turned out that the Craig Boyd was actually the winner of the show. And what we learned there was we went back and debugged our models and say, hey, why didn't we get this right? And it turns out this was a real neck-to-neck competition, and our models were calling them out like there was a 42% and a 41% chances for that.
So
when we are, it's really close. And we were able to clearly say who's the third winner, third person and the fourth person in the race. But between one and two, and when the candidates are so close to each other, what we find is it's better off to call out that, hey, these two candidates are really close, and one of these two are going to be the winner, instead of telling that, hey, this is the winner. So that was a big lesson for us where we learned. And now we are trying to factor into account what is the difference between the two candidates as well when we are trying to give like a confidence level when associated with predicting a winner.
I see.
And that's a great story for us to say, like, we called out one and two really well. But the margin of error between one and two was so small that we cannot pick one or the other. And those things happen all the time in the TV shows. You are going to have, not all of these have like a huge differences in query volumes. And so how do we pick one over the other? We need to look at other sources. And now we have models which are learning from other signals when we have such tightness. And we are like using that as a training data in some case to say, how can we get better at deciphering a winner when they're really close?
That's so cool. Yes. Wonderful. So you're taking this work and extending it to other reality TV shows as well now, right? I know Dancing with the Stars is one option, as well as you're working with The Voice as well. So what are the similarities and differences between these shows? Like, did your lessons learned from American Idol copy over pretty much, you know, verbatim, or did you have to make adjustments based on these new shows?
Well, there definitely are some adjustments need to be made. So the structure of these events varies quite a bit, and how we use the social information varies accordingly. So, for example, if you have judges that are involved and actually are eventually are the ones who do the voting, or whether it's even directly voted on by the fans. The time scale varies. Sometimes there's a short period of voting, sometimes a longer period of voting, and we may be able to infer things even during the voting period. There are regional biases on a show like The Voice, where it really matters who's performing where. There are various other voting patterns that one can learn from, for example, iTunes downloads or something like that, where that tells you something of how people are probably voting as well.
That's very interesting. Those are really interesting insights. Are there any other things that you've learned from this?
Yeah, so one thing that really fascinates about this whole reality TV shows is that you would expect that there is a singing contest and the one who sings best is the one who's going to win it all, right?
Right.
But it turns out that your performances play an important role, especially in the earlier part of the season. So if you have 12 or 10, 13 contestants and you're going to go eliminate one or two every week all the way to the final round, what you would see is performances matter only in the earlier rounds. 3-4 weeks in, you have kind of started to form your favorites. And you are going to vote for Caleb Johnson or LaPorcia, irrespective of how they perform. I'm sure they have already set a standard and their performances will not vary substantially. They've set themselves a bar, they formed their fan bases in the earlier part of the show, and then it's just fan behavior. There are days when your performance is not your top-notch, but still you get votes favoring you over and over again. And that's fascinating. So, in fact, one of the hosts, I don't know the exact quote, I'm just quoting approximately here. So he says, vote for the favorite performance or risk your favorite go. So if you don't vote for your favorite one, you're actually risking your favorite candidate go. And that is a bigger factor than the performance as you start going closer and closer to the actual final winner decision making. So that's really fascinating for us to learn, and how we weight the model changes with time, and that's something that we have picked up along the way.
That's very interesting, but it completely makes sense. People do play favorites on those shows, and once you get your candidate, you stick with
absolutely.
Them. So that makes a lot of sense how the model needs to evolve to account for that earlier versus later in the season.
Sure.
Very cool stuff. So what are the long-term goals for this work? Are there other kind of plans you guys have in the area of reality TV?
Well, we are trying to expand both our offerings for predictions to other types of TV shows. I don't want to name any particular ones to not set their own expectations, but there are other interesting shows. But equally importantly, we are also trying to scale our work more globally. We have partner teams in several places in the world, in Asia in particular, and there are lots of interesting shows for those local markets that we would love to provide predictions for, just like we do for US right now.
Very cool, very cool. So since this is the one that we're focusing on, TV show, how does it compare to some of the other areas that Bing Predicts plays in? Is reality TV significantly different than, say, predicting a sports match or a political election or an award show?
Sure. So at the end of the day, a reality TV show, what we are trying to say is, who's the most popular, or the one who's getting eliminated, who's the least popular? So there are subtleties between American Idol and The Voice and Dancing with the Stars, but at the end of the day, it's a popularity contest. But if you take it to sports, just because Germany is more popular than Brazil doesn't mean that Germany is going to beat Brazil.
Right.
So our models have to take into account that there are a lot of factors that happen on the field, their performance statistics, and not just popularity into account. So to that extent, yes, our models have to evolve to the context. The baseline accuracies, we get 95% in American Idol, but is that the same for sports? Maybe not. So it depends on the context. So we are trying to evolve these models for different contexts, having different baselines to compare against and beat those baselines well. And politics as well. So we are extending our models to politics. And now we are also exploring if we can take the similar models and solve predictive problems for enterprises, because we can unlock business value using some of these technologies if we can solve real valuable business problems. So that's where we are heading towards. We are customizing our models We are solving use cases. Obviously, we are delighting the users on Bing.com, and now we are looking to do more of those and engage our Bing fans along the way.
That's wonderful. Ah, I'm very excited to see where you guys go with this work, because this is very, very fun stuff. Do you guys have any closing thoughts? And specifically also, if people want to follow this work and learn more about it, I know there's a Bing Twitter account. Are there other things people can do to learn more about you? Do you have personal Twitter accounts?
We have a @Bing handle, which is our Bing account, and if you reply to that with the hashtag Bing Predicts, that's the fastest way to get to us. We also have Bing Predicts page, where you can search for Bing Predicts on Bing, and your first result takes you to a Bing Predicts page. That's another place where you can track our accuracies and see what's going on live right now. We write a series of blog posts whenever, like, March Madness is going on now, and we have blog posts about it. So these are all different channels to reach to us. We are engaging with the audiences, and we are taking their feedback, and it's we would love to hear from them.
Awesome. Well, it's so cool to see what you guys are doing, and I look forward to seeing where you go next. Sure. Thank you so much for joining us today. Please stay tuned for the other Bing Predicts deep dives in this series around sports, award shows, and elections. See you soon.